Hello, everybody. Welcome to Undiscovered Worlds. I am Ryan. Over there is Maria. If you guys are playing the Find Pepita game, this one does not count. It's very obvious where she is. That is Pepita.
Niso. Oh, Ned. Oh, Ned.
Right.
It was Ned.
Yes. All right, everybody. So if you are coming in, if you watched the last video, you realize that we are changing the channel up a little bit. It's going to be me and Mar on camera now. So if you recognize the voice, this is the voice of Maria you've been listening to for the last 5 years. If you guys are coming over from Wild Chats, welcome in. The format's going to be really, really similar to what we do with the Animal Facts over there. And today is going to be all about baby humans. So me and Maria basically take a subject, we scour the internet, we find all of the fun facts that we can find about the topic, we put it on a little sheet off to the side of our screen, and we basically convey all the fun stuff to you while having some fun conversations along the way. So hopefully you guys enjoy it. Maria, would you like to kick us off this episode?
Sure. As I give the food to my own four-legged child,
yes,
dehydrated chicken.
We'll have a completely separate baby animal video over on Wild Chats, but so we'll leave all the baby human four-legged furry friend stuff for over there. But I cut you off. Go ahead, Maria. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So if one of the coolest things that if a woman needs to produce more milk to feed her child, one of the hacks is to eat this plant seed called fenugreek. Fenugreek, that supplement, basically, as it increases milk production, the side effect is that it causes your child to smell like maple syrup.
Yes. So then we could get into baby animal facts because then other baby animals may try to take your child away. So maybe you guys can debate whether you want to use fenugreek if it's worth it to you or not.
If the bees are attracted.
Yes, yes. Okay, I am going to start off the show with the 1920s. The Q-tip. The Q-tip was invented by a guy who got the idea from watching his wife clean their baby's ears with, get this, a toothpick with a cotton swab tucked around the tip of it. That just does not seem safe to me. So thank you, Q-tip guy. And his wife, apparently. Thank you, his wife also.
But it was a hack to wrap something around in cotton, where it could be a toothpick or just any little cylindrical thing, so they'll wrap it really well. So actually, yes, I've seen that before.
Okay. I was thinking like a wood stir thing for a coffee, or there had to be some other wooden stick or some other implement that wasn't so pointy. That was my like.
Yeah, but you can probably trim the top and still use it because you need thin and small.
That's a good point. They didn't say it was a pointy toothpick. All right, guys, we are already weighing the educational level of, no, I'm just kidding.
So speaking of dirt, if you want to save a child from bad or dirty powers, they should be called with different names. And by the way, if you hear that, Pepita's trachea collapses a little bit and she just had a piece of chicken. So don't worry about it. She's okay.
Yes. That's the important part. Okay.
Anyway, so that was my contribution. That's why nicknames are so important.
So you're saying powers like evil, I know they do this in Thailand, like evil spirits and stuff. A lot of the children, they even go by it in public. It's not like a nickname just used in the family. Like a lot of people, like you'll never learn their real name. You just learn water or mountain or whatever they're, and the reason for that in a lot of other cultures, yes, exactly that. So evil spirits can't find them because if they're named water, that's not their actual name. So.
Like Rumpelstiltskin. Remember when they had to guess the name of Rumpelstiltskin?
Stiltskin, I think, was the Polish version, because I know the English version was Rumpelstiltskin, but Stiltski could have been the Polish version or something.
Or Sky, we're going to go Russian. Let's do this.
Sorry, guys, I'm really sarcastic. I've got a baby sister. I can't help but tease. If you're coming for Wild Chats, you already know this about me. If it's your second episode on Undiscovered, you'll get to know Maria and I's give and take, but it is all done out of caring and respect. If it sounds teasy or cruel, it is definitely not. But if you haven't been watching us over on the other channel, you don't quite know our interaction yet. Let's see.
So yeah, welcome.
Yeah, you guys see me looking off screen? That's because that's where my list of facts is that I've compiled. So as professional as it is, I'm going to be over here for a good portion of the show. I thought this was actually really cute. So babies born deaf, if they're exposed to sign language early enough, will actually babble in sign. So the way babies babble, I thought that one was adorable.
Adorable. I read that too, and I just thought that was so beautiful. And also going with that, I was reading that, kind of going with the same thing you're talking about, the child will develop their language and their babbles will be based on how their mothers speak.
Yeah.
Like almost like they will take the babble from how the parents speak, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting the way language and stuff works. I mean, I know that over on the Animal Channel, we talked about this before, how like cows have regional accents. Like even a moo has an accent to it if you're from different regions because you're copying or mimicking or influenced by what you're hearing.
So my fact was actually about that one that I was kind of just throwing there was about cadences and rhythms.
Okay.
And you can tell the difference between French, German, English just by the gurgles and the cries. So yeah, like you were saying about animals, they have an accent. So are the gurgles and the cries of children based on their parents, their mother's tongue.
Interesting. So I have actually, I read this next fact in like different formats in different ways. So I had to try to compile it all together. And basically what I got out of it is, so we're born with a certain amount of sweat glands as babies, but they're all inert. They don't function. And what they found is the amount of your sweat glands that are activated as you get a little older is all determined by the temperature you experience as a baby. So if you need to
sweat
more, cool more, if you're in a desert environment, you'll over your life have more, you don't have more sweat glands. That's what some of the facts are saying is you develop more sweat glands, but that's not true. The case is they're activated when you're young and they'll activate based on your temperature when you're young. So if you're a heavy sweating person in a cold environment, it might have been that when you were a baby, you were brought up that first year or so in a hot environment. So more sweat glands were activated because they can't turn off. So once they're activated for your life.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So that's when a parent puts a lot of sweaters on the poor child, usually mothers, if they're cold, they put sweaters on their babies.
Okay.
So they basically don't learn to self-regulate temperature. I think you're coughing because you want payment.
She just got payment. Again, if you guys haven't come over from Wild Chats, this is Pepita gets payment for everything. She is the type of dog that believes that if you took her out for a walk, she deserves a payment because you got the benefit of being seen with her in public and also you got exercise. It wasn't her walk. It was your walk, your exercise, so she deserves payment.
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Oh.
Now she's calm and collected.
Okay. Where do we leave off? Is it yours, Mar?
If a child says a word mom, how do you call it? Like a belief, basically.
Okay.
So if a child says a word like mom, the first word the child says, the next child will be a female. But if he says dad, of course, then the child will be a male.
Okay.
And also in the first couple of months or the first couple of a few months of the child's life, you should not cut their hair until they reach 1 year old.
Okay.
Because it also should be done by a healthy young man.
So these are superstitions from around the world.
Superstitions.
Okay. Okay. I'm wondering if the baby's word is like first word is something else like food.
Like water.
Like what? Yeah, exactly. I don't know. All right.
Or if he's going to be a single child, then what? Now yeah. What?
So we actually talked about this in the last, which would be the first video we did on Undiscovered Worlds when we were talking about food. One of the quiz questions, basically at the towards the end of the show, guys, it'll be kind of Jeopardy style. We like to just ask each other quiz questions, and it's your opportunity to get involved. You can yell at the screen if you know the answer or think we're total idiots when we can't figure it out and you've known the answer for 30 seconds while we're struggling through clues. But this ties into that, because we were talking about food and we learned that there's three things that the human brain can't not notice. Like the brain has to notice it. We're wired that way. And it was food, danger, and attractive faces.
Symmetrical, yes.
And this one basically is newborn babies choose to look at attractive faces over plain ones, thereby suggesting that recognizing appealing faces is hardwired at birth. I didn't do that on purpose. I just happened to pick them individually and they tied together perfectly. So
I think that is actually really interesting, because also they are hardwired to with different types of music. Like they're more soothed. Mm-hmm. This is a fact that I have, but it ties to what you're saying.
Okay.
They're more soothed with music than with talking. So if you're trying to soothe a child, they remain soothed twice as long when listening to a song than when listening to talking, and that's a study that was done in 2015.
Okay. I usually don't like to jump around on my list because then I miss stuff, but I do have one that kind of goes right in line with that.
Go for it.
Babies typically prefer a female voice over a male voice, which some people think is why we instinctually raise the pitch of our voice when we talk to babies.
Ooh.
Most of us don't like, oh, I'm going to raise my voice because we just know that the baby responds to it more. And actually, there is a word for that when you raise the pitch of your voice, and it is called motherese. So even us males speak motherese to babies, so because they like the sound of female voices more than ours.
But also, it has to do with the fact that what they're hearing as they're developing is their mother's voice. And yeah. usually female voices are higher pitched.
Yes.
So therefore, that's what they're used to.
And when I raise my voice to that pitch, I'm sure I sound exactly like a woman. And I'm fooling that child into thinking it, and then it likes me. So.
That is awesome.
Like me.
And actually, I have a side story. This is a story.
Okay.
My sister and I have similar voices. Like if we're on the phone and we're talking, my sister and I, to one of my aunts, she will not know whose voice it is. Like they just don't have a clue. They only know based on different slangs, different laughter, just very basic little things.
Okay.
When my niece was 6 months old, my brother-in-law brought her to a different city where we were living. They live somewhere else. Okay. And my niece was crying. So I picked her up and I started talking to her. Immediately, she thought I was her mom.
Ah, okay.
Immediately, because the voices were so similar.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So I don't know if it's my turn.
No, it's your turn. You had a side story after my fact, so now we're on your fact.
Okay. So I have a couple of country facts.
Contra facts?
Country.
Country facts. Okay. I'm like, here's contrary facts. Babies like this. Babies don't like this.
If a baby likes lemon, they may not like sugar. No, I have no clue.
All right. No contrary facts. Country facts.
So in Malaysia, now this doesn't mean that everyone in Malaysia, they do this, like everywhere in Brazil, or you know what I mean?
Okay.
But the fact said that in Malaysia, in order to ward babies from disease and you're supposed to bathe them in beer. But if you're in Brazil, if for any reason they actually, this is not a belief, this is actually something they do in Brazil, and they're doing it in many other countries now.
Okay.
But in Brazil, they now have a breast milk bank.
Okay.
And the breast milk bank is designed to allow those babies who, or parents who cannot provide for their children, so that they can have the most nutritious source of food.
That's interesting. Yeah, you have to be really careful. I guess they would probably have to do testing and stuff, because I know that you can pass on diseases and stuff through breast milk. They've actually done studies where there are certain things that can be passed on that way.
And even further to it,
okay,
the mother develops milk based on the needs of the child, the immune needs, the immunity needs of the child.
Yeah.
So the child is perfectly designed to the need of the child, the age of the child. So when the baby's first born, it has colostrum, and the colostrum evolves as the child, now the gut is healed, and then they start producing different minerals and nutritional needs for the baby. So it's very interesting. I don't know how they will do that, or they just mix it together and be like, okay, it has no diseases, but if it's 6 months or 2 years or whatever length of time they breastfeed their children.
Yeah. But, along those same lines, I had one that I found that said that when the baby's feeding, the mother's breasts actually adjust temperature to make sure that the baby's kept warm. So that's how in sync a baby and a mother are, especially when it comes to feeding and what's being passed on and nutrients and all that. Like, there's a lot more going on there, I think, than even we realize, or even that's been fully like explored. As basic as a thing as it is, they haven't explored so many different aspects of that connection. All right. Sorry, I got to move back up my list. I'm jumping up and down here, which I don't normally do.
I do all the time.
Okay, well, outside of like jumping jacks and stuff like that. So they did this to me when I was a baby and my mom almost freaked out. So newborns have a natural reflex to swim the first 4 to 6 months they're alive. But after that, they have to be retaught. And I've told this story over on Wild Chats before, but when I was being brought to taught to swim the first time, the guy just literally threw me in the water and my mom freaked out. She's like, what are you doing with my child? They're fine. They have a natural reflex to swim. They're totally built for this. They're fine. I don't know if I was older than 6 months or not at that point, but yeah, it's a great philosophy. But again, it's also 4 to 6 months. So every baby's different. Probably not the best way to teach your child to swim, to just toss them in there. And if you do, even if the baby's okay, the mother might not be. So if you're doing a swim school, don't go with that strategy.
No, and I think, like you said, it's very important. Not only is it the child will do its best to survive. I mean, we are hardwired to survive. In fact, they did some studies that when the baby's born, because of the pigmentation changes in our body, and the babies can only see red, black, or white, then the pigmentation changes on the breast, so the child can actually see it.
Yeah,
and aim towards
that line too from the belly button. A lot of women will get a darker line above that that goes in. It's exactly for that reason.
And that's just love how the human body is so perfect. Mm-hmm. That simple things like that, that we don't understand why, have a complete reason for existing or for being. And it's just too perfect.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're up.
I'm up. Let's do this. So in a recent study, 1985, this was really bad. So as recently as 1985, children, newborn babies, were being operated on without anesthesia.
I read that.
And the thought was that the child did not feel any pain, and the anesthesia could be the anesthesia itself could be more dangerous to them than the surgery.
Yeah. So guys, if you watched the show, you've been catching in since, well, I don't know, the last one, since this is only the second one, we do an after show where we kind of put the more adult facts or the stuff that we maybe don't want to share here. That was actually on my after show fact, because I just couldn't bring myself to talk about baby surgery without anesthesia. So that's the fun of this too, guys. Maria and I both go and find the facts, that we pick our favorite facts, and then we kind of figure out where we're going to put them. So that's also another interesting aspect of the show.
I just actually thought it was so shocking.
It was. That's kind of why.
That was the research.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just that concept. I was like, okay, maybe if I change the wording, I'm like, nope, I'm just putting it in the after show. I'm not going to try to soften it. But you did a really good job, actually. It did not sound that graphic coming from
Thank
you.
Thank goodness. Okay.
Let's see. Babies who are exclusively breastfed from the first 3 months, for the first 3 months, have up to 30% more cognitive development than those that are fed formula. And on average, heavier women produce brainier children. Scientists believe that fat stored on a woman's hips contains acids that are essential to the development of an unborn baby's brain. And then I read a long time ago that the longer you stay in the womb, on average, the more intelligent children are, which is interesting because nowadays, if you're like 2, 3, 4 days overdue, they're like inducing. immediately. And again, that was on average, because then I looked up like most famous like preemies, kids that were born early, and like Einstein was the first name. So clearly it's on average the longer you stay in the womb.
Yeah, because I was 10 days longer and I will not consider myself a member of Mensa ever.
It's not a Mensa thing, but they just, I think they did IQ tests basically for kids that were born a month earlier, kids that, you know, stayed 2-3 weeks longer, and then on average.
But it is interesting what you said about the woman's body, because they have also more resources to find the nutrients that the baby needs. Again, the body modifies, and that's why many women, after giving birth a couple of times, they're more prone to have osteoporosis. The child is going to take what the child is going to need, whether it is in the womb or breastfeeding. The baby's going to take what he's going to need. It's that simple. Because genetically, we want our descendants to be healthier. So our body naturally will just give them what they want.
That was your bonus. Okay.
No, you. Bonus?
No, you.
You. Okay, me. Perfect. Yeah, so Speaking of pregnancy and stuff like that, Queen Victoria, she hated being pregnant. She viewed breastfeeding with disgust and thought that newborn babies were ugly.
This is the same lady, I think, that I read a fact one time that she'd bathed like 4 times in her entire life or something like that. So don't quote me on that one. That's not current research. But I think I recall her being one of those monarchs that like barely ever bathed. So I'm not going
to. Yeah, but the standards were different. I mean, remember, they used to think the Vikings were really, really clean. And that's because they showered like once a week.
Yeah.
So people used to make fun of them.
This is an add-on fact, but if you guys have ever heard the phrase, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, like don't get ahead of yourself, basically, is kind of what the phrase means. Mm-hmm. The way they used to bathe back in like medieval times is like the more senior person in the house goes first. And they bathed once every several months usually, and they had one tub and one thing of water because it wasn't that readily available. So dad would bathe, and mom would bathe, then the oldest would bathe. Then so by the time you got to the baby, theoretically you couldn't see the baby while it was bathing because the water was so dirty after dad and mom and older siblings went that don't accidentally throw the baby out with the bathwater is where that came from. And the look on Maria's face, and it was not the flavor of her tea that made her look like that.
Just as I was drinking very dark tea.
Yes. Okay.
But in the past.
Okay.
It was estimated that one in every 8 children, every 8 babies, were given to the wrong parents while they were at the hospital.
Someone ate babies, and then the ones that weren't eaten got given to the wrong mothers? Wow, that's horrible. 1 in 8 babies, you say.
1 in 8.
Yes. That's okay. In Japan, there's more adult diapers sold than there are baby diapers.
Oh, really? Wow.
When a population's getting older, that's when you know that you've made a shift in your population dynamics, when there's more adult diapers.
Quite a shift, for sure. So in some countries, okay, so we talked about this in food, but I'm going to mention it here because I have it.
Okay.
In some countries where people don't have food processors or forks, mothers will chew up food to put into their baby's mouths.
Yes.
So that was the same fact you mentioned in food, but since I had it and I thought it was really relevant, it's also also they will chew it not only because, you know, to make it softer, but also if there were leftover bones or seeds or anything that could choke the child, then it was a good way to kind of make sure everything was okay for that baby.
Yes. That was one of the food facts I missed, actually. They would eat fish. The reason fish with lemon became a thing is people back then thought that the lemon would dissolve any of the little tiny bones from the fish that they missed to pull out. That's how that became a thing. But okay,
I thought they did it because it will actually kill bacteria.
What I read was because they actually believed it would dissolve the bones if they missed any in the stomach. Like the stomach acid wouldn't take care of that.
I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. Not in the bone, not in the fish itself, no, but in the stomach.
Consumed it. Okay. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But back to babies. I've always loved this one, which is knowing why something works is something I really enjoy, guys. So if you've ever played peekaboo with a child, that look of amazement on their face, like the joy that they get out of it, to us, it just seems, if you were to think about it, it seems silly. But the reason it works is this. There's something called object permanence. A baby doesn't know, it can't track where something went. It doesn't have that concept of space and time yet up to a certain point. I don't know if it gave me an age on this one. It didn't. So this is a fact that I've been telling for years. So when you play peekaboo, They think you're gone. They think you've disappeared like magic. So when you reappear, it's literally like a magician pulling the sheet back, and then the person is like there again. It's that amazing to them. So it's that object permanence thing that you can play with children, knowing that they don't know that you've just ducked down behind the couch, which is obvious
or
to
just
you. Or
just the fact that you cover, like you do with cats, and cats do that too.
Yeah.
And to add to that fact, I actually had something that said you need to put your child before they're 6 months old in front of a mirror so they can start having that recognition of who they are. So it yes. helps with their brain development.
Yeah, the self-awareness. And I actually had found that fact too. And then there was a test for it that I thought was interesting. If you put a red dot on their forehead or anything that's very recognizable, if they point to the dot on their head, they have self-awareness. If they point to the dot on the mirror, they haven't developed self-awareness yet of self. So that's a good test.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah, if they've actually figured that out yet.
And in many countries, by the way, if a child has hiccups, they used to talk about a red string, like a string, and it was usually red, and you will put it on their forehead to stop their hiccups.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, let's see. Oh, I did. Oh, it's your turn. It's your turn.
My turn. Okay. So I have that in the 1950s, they wouldn't allow children of students in Trinity Hall in Cambridge.
Okay.
So in order to go around that they wouldn't allow babies there, the babies were redefined as cats.
Cats, you say? Okay. Okay.
I thought that was very interesting.
So if I ever look back to that time frame and they're just like, oh, this person also really hated cats and loved dogs. Now I have to wonder, do they hate cats or do they not like children? Okay. I actually found that self-awareness thing. And it's actually, it usually develops at 12 months is usually when the baby's self-awareness develops. Let's see. Okay. So since we're on the kind of psychology of kids, I really like this stuff is fun to me. At around 6 months old, a baby learns that each object is unique. So before 6 months, whenever it sees a bird in a tree, it assumes that it's the same bird.
So okay.
It can't actually make those distinctions. Again, that developing baby brain, I think, is always really interesting.
That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
How children grow and develop. But something interesting, slightly horrendous, but not really bad, is okay. In Switzerland, babies, they were not recognized as persons until
cats.
They were 3 months of age.
They were cats before that.
They were referred to as things with no names and cannot be touched by men.
Okay. But women. Women can touch
only
them.
Women, okay. Not men.
Okay. Okay. Well, it sounds a little bit, I don't know which one's worse. You guys can let us know in the comments if you want to for fun. Is it that one where they're not actually considered human beings or considered things until 3 months? Or after the Linder baby was kidnapped in 1932, parents started tattooing their children so they could tell which ones were theirs in case it happened to them.
I actually don't mind that one because at least it shows that you care.
That's a good point. I'm just imagining a poor, like, 3-month-old getting, like, a heart tat, you know, like, right on his arm.
Dude, they were doing open heart surgery
without
anesthesia.
Okay, good point. Good point.
What's three dots on their rib or something?
Gotcha. It's like, It's like, how do I mark my golf balls? Okay, I'll use that same marking on my child. I know that one's mine. I like to use a three-dot triangle pattern. That kid's mine.
Like branding cattle.
Exactly. That's what made it bad to me.
I'm going to go on a complete tangent.
Okay.
We haven't gone on a tangent.
Okay.
Okay, this is my second tangent, but this is a tangent.
All right.
So this guy in Texas didn't want to brand his cattle. He said, no, he's not going to brand his cattle.
Okay.
And that's where the term Maverick came from, because his last name was Maverick. So when you think, oh, such a Maverick, is because he was not following the rule of branding cattle. He's like, no, I'm not branding my cattle. No touchy.
Okay. So I guess my bigger question is, what about that situation made him a good fighter pilot? I just watched Top Gun Maverick the other day. Love that movie. I wasn't even a huge fan of the first one, but the second one, and again, this is not the first time I've seen it, but it was just fresh in my memory. I absolutely love that movie. I really, really do. Okay, let's see. Oh, okay, a baby can recognize the smell and voice of its mother at birth because it's been listening while in the womb, so that the voice part makes sense to me. It takes a few weeks before a baby can see the difference between its mother and other adults. But then on the flip side of that, that I thought was interesting, is even a blindfolded mother has the ability to identify their own child even amongst other babies by scent alone. So
that is, again, so beautiful. We are so wired in the perfect way for success, mm-hmm. for our child to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So some babies in Asia, and actually Native Americans in some areas of Mexico, or actually Mexico too, babies are born, not all of them, but most babies are born with something called the Mongolian blue spot. Have you ever heard of that?
I haven't.
So it's a birthmark that is literally in the back of the baby, like in the lower back. Okay. And it usually disappears within 3 to 5. It disappears eventually,
okay.
within a couple of years. But some people believe that Mongolian blue spot is actually a trace of Genghis Khan as a Mongolian who was a conqueror and conquered most of Asia, basically everywhere, in the 1200s.
If you guys don't know, he had like a ridiculous amount of children. Like, I think it was in the thousands, to the point where I think like most of Asia, again, I don't have these numbers correct, but it's like a really weird number. But like some X percentage of all people in Southeast Asia are actually descended from Genghis Khan because he had so many children.
And many people traveled to Mexico. So many of the native settled there, and so you have that too. So it's just fascinating.
Exactly. Mar, do you have any last ones you want to share that you just absolutely love and have to get out before we move on to the fun quiz section?
I have a cool one.
Okay.
So in 2019, Japan Airlines launched a new seat map for passengers when they're booking a flight, which will feature a very peculiar icon.
Okay.
And it is the child icon. So these seats were already booked for children, so you can decide if you want to sit near them or not.
Okay. Does it have like two different icons so I have an age range? Because like, I don't mind a four-year-old, but like a four-month-old, like I want to be on the other side of the plane. Like,
I don't know that. They just said child icon.
Okay. I'd be interested.
That would be a very interesting thing. Although the problem with a four-month-old is that he's going to kick you. And the problem with a four-year-old, the problem with a four-month-old is going to cry. So either way.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, you just, as long as you're not right behind the four-year-old. But that's interesting. I had not heard that before. Okay, guys. And I'm going to start working these out a little bit better, because I actually think the quiz section's one of my fun, like, favorite sections already. And I didn't develop them as much as I wanted to. But I'm going to start with this one. When do babies develop fingerprints? And this is for the audience also. So we're going to go through, we're going to ask questions, and then if Maria can't get it, I'm going to kind of give her a little bit of a hint, see if we can get her a little bit closer.
I will think that before birth.
That was going to be your hint. I need a better answer than that.
So it's before birth.
Okay.
Fingers start developing within a couple of, like, very soon after. Oh, how precious. I'm going to say 16 weeks of pregnancy. I'm making it up. I have no idea.
Pretty close. So Maria's going just before 4 months, and it's actually at about 18 weeks. But again, every development's different, so that was a good one. Now the follow-up question. Kneecaps. When does a baby develop kneecaps?
So their skin is still very flexible. I mean, their body is still forming. The bones are not dense yet. So I'm going to go with, what's 18 weeks? How many months is that? Three, right?
Four. It'd be just after four.
So I'm going to say five and a half.
5.5 months in the womb is your guess. So first off, I would like you to think about a baby and its chubby little legs and its chubby little face. Do you picture a kneecap on a newborn?
Why wouldn't I picture a kneecap?
Because they don't develop till after birth. That's your first hint, Maria. After birth? How old is a baby when it develops? Most of you guys know, I think when we're born, we have like 306 bones, I think it is. And then by the
question.
Oh, by the time we're adults, it's like 200 and what? 260 something, I think?
206.
206. So our bones fuse, like your skull has like growth sections in it and stuff. So that is one of those things. So bones kind of develop or merge as we get older. So now that you
and
know.
And women
that,
have one extra bone.
The rib that we gave them?
No, so it can hold a child.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, it's one extra bone. So that's how they can tell just by looking at if they're bones, basically, and you try to figure out if it's a male or a female, then you just look at the extra bone.
And where's this extra bone?
In the hips, so it can hold the hips.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still have a guess, though? So now that you know it's after birth, at what age would you guess that the kneecaps appear?
Okay, so it has to be before they start crawling. So they start crawling about a year. I'm going to say 8 months.
Crawling is an interesting one, but the answer is 2 to 6 years old. So, yes, they are crawling without kneecaps. Probably makes it less painful because that's.
I was just going to say that. You're right.
Not having a kneecap probably helps the crawl. And then when you're walking, you're not. That is interesting. Okay. What do you got
For child development, most people are really proud that their children didn't crawl. And actually, crawling is so important for child development because it allows their left and right brain to connect with one another. So they also learn about dimension and distance and depthness. So crawling is one of the most important steps in child development.
And I wish I had more facts, but we were already getting long and I skipped it. But in medieval times, actually, they wouldn't allow their babies to crawl because it reminded them of like apes and stuff. So they actually had all these contraptions and stuff to make their kids walk because they did not like the sight of them crawling. So that's interesting. So we hit the Middle Ages, Dark Ages at a time where people won't let their babies crawl, and crawling is that important to development. Do you have any quiz questions, Maria? No?
Well, the thing is, you already said the one about the babies.
Okay. I have one more. You want mine?
No, I have one. I have one.
Okay.
What should someone do? Or why? So what and why should someone do if a baby pacifier falls on the ground? Like, what is the best thing to do?
Unfortunately, that is one of the facts that I skipped. So I already know the answer.
Okay, then go for it.
Yes. No, I'll let everybody else out there guess. So you're a parent and your baby drops his pacifier on the ground. What do you do? And then what do you think the best thing to do is? So you guys can actually, that'll be a fun one to write. We'll do a social post about this, Maria. So actually, it's going to be it could be moms and dads that are answering. So guys, if you don't know, every episode we do like a couple questions for the audience, and so you guys can keep talking about it under the it's the community tab in YouTube or on Patreon. And on Patreon, it's free. There's a free section over there. You don't have to sign up for anything. But any conversations we want to start with you guys, we'll write over there. So this one will be one of those. What would you do, or what do you do when a pacifier hits the ground? And the answer is you're supposed to pick it up, put it in your mouth, then put it in their mouth, and then they can build antibodies. It helps them. So if you've ever seen, I forgot what the name of the TV show was, but it's an Americans that go work at a call center over in India. And they're trying to eat the street food in India. And one of his coworkers that's Indian is like, no, you're not ready for that yet.
Yeah, like, I don't remember that show, but that show was awesome.
Yeah, you have to build your way up to these things. All right, last question, Maria, before we round the show out. If you lose a wallet out of a ranking for me, what would be the ranking of percentages of chance that you're going to get your wallet returned to you? And we're going to do this by photos. So you can rank them in order of most likely to get your wallet back. Your options will be if you have a baby photo in your wallet, if you have a family photo in your wallet, if you have an odd couple, I don't know what odd couple means. I don't know if it's like the people that came with the wallet for free. They usually have like a photo of somebody in there. I'm not sure what odd couple means.
It could be just a random couple.
That's what I'm thinking. Or a photo of a puppy.
I will think either a puppy or a baby. Like those are going to be ranking higher.
Rank them all the way through. So your top choice would be?
Top puppy choice will be, because this is a baby show, I will assume baby first, then puppy, and then family, and then random couple. But if it was my choice, it will be puppy first, then baby, and then the others.
And just for future, so we did this, I told you the question we asked on the previous video, because we ended up kind of coming all the way back to it of what the brain can't not recognize. Just because it was a food video last video, food was not like the top choice. So in the future, guys, it's not always going to be a give me that whatever the topic is. I actually try to pick the questions not reflecting that. But this question was just too good. And Maria is actually 100% correct. It is 88% of the time of wallets, only 15% of wallets are returned. But of the 15%, 88% had a baby photo in them. 53% had a puppy photo in them. 48% had a family photo. 28% had an odd couple. So that is the
So basically, hack, if you want your wallet to be returned, keep a picture of a baby, whether it's your niece, nephew, or somebody's baby.
Somebody. All right, everybody. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. As always, in those social posts that I was talking about, one of the questions will always be, if you have any other fun facts about our topic for the day, which today was human babies. We left animals for another topic we're going to do over on Wild Chats, like a baby facts video, a baby animal facts video. Please share them. We'd love to hear them all. And then the other question, Maria, was, what do you do with the pacifier if it drops on the ground?
What do you personally do? Because we already answered what is the correct thing, but what would you, or what have you heard that people do culturally?
Fun pacifier ground stories from everybody. And so those will be again over on Patreon and the community post here in YouTube. Guys, if you are members of the subscription part of Patreon, we are going to move on over to our after show. Just so you guys know what that is, that's usually us talking about the show, random topics. But in these shows for Undiscovered Worlds, we're going to be sharing some more facts that were either a little more adult or didn't quite hit. There's certain words that don't need to be said out in public, or certain facts that just seem like they should be behind a little bit of shelter. So we'll be talking about all that stuff over there. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. We always enjoy doing these. And we will see you next time. Thank you so much.